I greet you in the name of Jesus. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father, from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. A hearty welcome to all of you that have come this morning, the guests that are here this morning, also a hearty welcome. Well, once again, we have assembled ourselves in God's house, and we want to celebrate another day of Pentecost. And it is worth celebrating. It's Pentecost, as we could say, is the birth of the church. And God has had it in mind in the beginning that this would happen, that it has happened, and we just want to thank him for that. But before we go on in our service, let us unite our hearts for opening prayer. Loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for this beautiful morning that you have given us. And Lord, we thank you for the church. What would we do if we did not have this church? The church is more than this building. It is made up of people who believe in Jesus Christ. We can come to church for encouragement. We can come for help when we are heavy laden. In a church, we feel comfortable because we are with people that have things in common with us. And when we are with people that have a common mindset, then we can feel along with each other when we go through some difficult times. And the church is a place where we can find salvation. I am sure that many here today would say, if it weren't for the church, I don't know where I would be. And once again, Heavenly Father, we just thank you for the institution of the church that you have given us, a gift that we just cannot be without. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Take the red book and turn to number 126. Come to the Savior, make no delay. 126.
Come to the Savior, make no delay. Here in his word he shows us the way. Here in our midst he's standing today, tenderly saying, come. Joyful, joyful will the meeting be, when from sin our hearts are pure and free, and we shall gather, Savior, with thee, in our eternal home. Suffer the children, oh, hear his voice. Let every heart leap forth and rejoice. And let us freely make him our choice. Do not delay, but come. Joyful, joyful will the meeting be, when from sin our hearts are pure and free. And we shall gather, Savior, with thee in our eternal home. Think once again, he's with us today. Heed now his blessed commands and obey. Hear now his accents tenderly say, will you, my children, come? Joyful, joyful will the meeting be, when from sin our hearts are pure and free. And we shall gather, Savior, with thee, in our eternal home.
Number 153, we'll tarry by the living waters. 153.
We'll tarry by the living waters. waits to give us welcome. A welcome sweet will be. We'll tarry by the living waters. Tarry by the living waters. Tarry by the living waters. Tarry by the fount of life. When weary with the toilsome journey, 'tis sweet to rest a while. Where crystal waters gently murmur and sunny fountains smile. We'll tarry by the living waters. Tarry by the living waters. Tarry by the living waters. Tarry by the fount of life. Then come to Christ, the living waters. Thy strength will he restore. Come, taste the joy of his salvation, and drink to thirst no more. We'll tarry by the living waters. Tarry by the living waters. Tarry by the living waters. Tarry by the fount of life.
Pentecost was a time when Christ came back to the people as the Holy Ghost. That was after his ascension. Now that he had come back as the Holy Ghost, we could say the plan of salvation was complete. This was a time of the beginning of the church age as we know it today. And when we consider the events of the plan of salvation, there's Christmas, Christ's ministry, and at the age of 33, his suffering began, his death, and then the resurrection. And then 40 days after his resurrection, he ascended into heaven, and not many days later, he came back to his people and dwelt in the believers as the Holy Spirit. Now we may think, what is the next event that will happen? One thing that we as Christians may not think about as we are celebrating the sending of the Holy Spirit, that the next event that we are awaiting for is when Christ will come again and receive the church to himself. The church will be taken out of this world. When we go to Acts chapter 1, Acts chapter 1, verses 9 to 11. And when he had spoken these things, this was Jesus, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? The same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. And it must have been quite a sight to see. Very often we make a picture in our mind how this happened, how Jesus ascended into heaven. But he will also come back again. And this time, when he will be coming back again, he will come to remove the church, the believers. Now that Jesus had ascended, what were his disciples to do? When we go to verses 4 to 8 in Acts chapter 1. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. So he be sending the Holy Ghost to the disciples. And when they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. The words that he told his disciples. He said he did not know when he would be coming back. But he said, in the meantime, you're supposed to build the kingdom of God. The words that are also spoken to us today. Yes, Pentecost happened 10 days after his ascension. And this is when the Lord instructed his disciples. And they understood what he meant. But before the death of Jesus on the cross, his disciples didn't quite understand what was going on. They were focusing on what he said. He would die, and they completely overlooked his resurrection. They could not apprehend the events that were taking place, and they were afraid. Now, however, they could understand. They knew what was happening. And when Jesus said they should go to Jerusalem and to wait for the Holy Spirit, they did just that. And as Jesus arose from the dead on the first day of the week, so also he sent the Holy Spirit in the first day of the week. There were now 12 disciples again. Between Ascension and Pentecost, the disciples had replaced Judas. His name was Matthew. And the disciples, they were motivated and knew that while Christ would not be physically in their midst anymore, he would be with them as in the Holy Spirit. In John 14, verses 16 to 20, he says, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. Have you ever thought of that? Those words? Verse 20. I am in my Father, and ye are in me, and I am in you. What a privileged people. Just to think, the one that is in control of everything, the one that has created everything, is in us. Going on in the same chapter. Verse 26 and 27. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Now, this teaching probably did not make a lot of sense to the disciples at the time and other teachings as well. But Jesus says that this comforter that he sends will help you later to understand what I'm telling you now. We find that all events, like Christmas, Easter, Ascension, have a visible story. A visible story that was witnessed by other people. And so with Pentecost as well. It says the disciples, they were all together in one house. But it's interesting to note, when we look at Christmas and Easter, how the world can use them to make it a commercial holiday. But we don't see anywhere that Ascension or Pentecost is made into a commercial entity. It has to do with the Holy Spirit. The world does not understand that. It is completely strange to them. But when these disciples were assembled in this house, there suddenly came a sound from heaven like a mighty rushing wind. It says they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and like a small flame of fire set upon their heads. Now, up till now, the Spirit of God had been with them, but now he lived in them. And that holds true for all believers today. In the Old Testament, God's Spirit was with his people. This Spirit also worked with the people, on the people, through the people, as prophets, angels, and others. It worked through them to bring the message to the people. But we find in the New Testament, God dwells in the believer. God has created a relationship with each individual believer between himself and man. Now, the Holy Spirit did not only indwell in the disciples, but also the disciples, they were filled with the Holy Spirit. And with us as believers, it is the same. But there is a difference between being indwelt with the Holy Spirit and being filled with the Holy Spirit. The disciples, they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and it prepared them to be persecuted. Paul, he was filled with the Holy Spirit. And Elymas, the sorcerer, was blinded. Each one of us should want to be filled with the Holy Spirit so that we can be a powerful service to God. How will we accomplish this? How can we be filled? Now, if we are looking for a magic solution, we will be disappointed. But in order for us to be filled with the Holy Spirit, we need to submit to God. We go to Ephesians. Ephesians, first of all, chapter 3, verse 19. And to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. And then chapter 4, verse 13. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And then chapter 5, verse 18. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. This filling with the Holy Spirit does not happen by itself. We need to make this connection with God. We need to commune with Him, communicate. And there are many more verses encouraging us to allow Christ to work in us through His Holy Spirit. And the more time we spend with Him and walk in obedience, the greater will the blessings be for us. And too often, we hinder the Holy Spirit from working in our lives. We hinder the Holy Spirit when we neglect our relationship with Christ. Yes, it grieves the Holy Spirit. Yes, Christ comes and lives within the believer at the time of our conversion. But to be filled with the Holy Spirit comes through reading His word, prayer, to live a life of obedience. And when a Christian yields more and more of himself to the Spirit's control and influence, he is said to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, the result of being filled with the Holy Spirit is usually not spectacular, but it is powerful. The book of Acts verifies that being filled with the Holy Spirit does not mean something supernatural, but rather was used for powerful service. In each case, when someone was said to be filled with the Holy Spirit, it was followed with powerful service for God. Yes, the disciples, they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke in other tongues so that everybody could understand in their language. Peter was filled with the Holy Spirit, and he preached with great power. The disciples again were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they prayed with great power. But this love for God has to be nurtured. No different than in a marriage. The love between the husband and wife has to be nurtured in order for it to grow, in order for it to have power. And if that is not nurtured, interest will be lost. And likewise, with us as people of the Church of God and Jesus Christ, that relationship has to be nurtured. Yes, we want to open up our hearts to give the Holy Spirit the freedom to work through us. Now, our body is not only a dwelling place for the Holy Spirit, but it is also a vessel that the Lord wants to use for His service. This is the kind of vessel the disciples had, or were, as we read in Acts chapter 2. We find that during the death of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the disciples, they were fearful. They were fearful for their own lives. They hid in houses behind closed doors. They were not sure what would happen to them. Would the same thing happen to them that happened to Jesus? But after Pentecost, these same people, after receiving the Holy Spirit, changed them. And we will look at that in the next portion of our message this morning. But before we go to that, I want to give all the opportunity, whoever's able to go and bend a knee and pray for whatever lies in your heart. And so let us kneel and pray in the name of Jesus. May the Lord hear our prayers and be merciful unto us.
Take the blue book and turn to number 127, To God Be the Glory. 127, for those that are able, let's stand.
Just before the disciples had received the Holy Spirit, they were afraid. But now, after Pentecost, after the disciples had been filled with the Holy Spirit, their fear was gone. They knew that they would be facing opposition from the scribes and the Pharisees. But now their focus was not on man. Their focus now was on God. There was nothing that would stop these men from preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And before denying even Jesus, now they went out into the same crowds proclaiming Jesus Christ. And there was many people that came to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. We only need to continue reading in Acts chapter 2, where we find that the Holy Spirit was at work. Yes, the Apostle Peter, he preached an earnest message of repentance, and many responded. In Acts chapter 2, verse 37 to 41, and after this is what they did after they heard Peter's preaching. Now, when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" We all have come to that point, and if not, we need to come to that point. What shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call," including us. "And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, Save yourselves from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls." Just imagine, 3,000, I don't know how many people there were, but at least 3,000 were converted that one day. And going on with verse 47, "They were praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved." The first Pentecost, and the church has continued to grow. And from that time of Acts to this very day, the Holy Spirit has changed the lives of many people. It has changed their hearts. Yes, this Holy Spirit is busy all around the world. In countries where there are earthquakes, thousands of people are killed. Many of them are Christians, but the Holy Spirit is there comforting them. In war-torn countries, thousands of people flee dangers of war, looking for a peaceful place to live. Many of those are Christians, and the Holy Spirit is with them. Many people die from disease outbreaks, but Christ does not abandon his own. Yes, Christ is with his children, dying of starvation and living in poverty conditions. Yes, many people come to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior every day. And all this because of how the Holy Spirit works all across the world. This morning, brought one of our grandsons to the airport, and he's flying to Papua New Guinea to do mission work there. There's probably the least, or the place on this earth where there's least amount of Christians, or there's a lot of tribes in the jungles that have not heard of Christ. And where do we fit into this Pentecost story? we must say we fit into this Pentecost story in a very personal way. We as believers in Jesus Christ, we have opened our door to allow Christ to come in, to make a permanent dwelling place in us. This is not only for a short visit or for a limited time, but a long-term residence. As our body has now become a temple of the Holy Spirit. Have we looked into the mirror this morning? I'm sure we all have. And considered the thought that this body of mine is a temple of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit lives in this temple. And do we have to alter this temple in order for Christ to live in there? No. Christ wants to live in this temple exactly the way it is. In the Old Testament, the temples, they were decorated with gold and silver and many other costly materials. The temple was considered holy because it was God's dwelling place. The people said that God deserves the best dwelling place that there is, that can be built. And God, he also instructed the people how they should build this temple. But at the time of Christ's crucifixion, the veil that hung in front of the holies of holies was rent in two from top to bottom. Meaning that Christ no longer lived behind this veil, but in the hearts of his people. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 and 20, starts off with a question. What? Know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. When we consider that our body is a temple of God, how should that look like from the inside? We may put a lot of emphasis on how we look on the outside. But what kind of an inside would please the Lord? The Lord is not concerned how tall we are or short we are, or what our weight might be, or if we are wearing the latest fashions. But rather, he looks at our inside. What is our character? God said to Samuel, as he was about to choose a king for Israel, he said to Samuel that man looks at the outward appearance, but God looks inward at the heart. Instead of gold and silver, like they had in the Old Testament temples, God looks at our characteristics that are much more valuable. We find them in Galatians chapter 5, starting with verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such, there is no law. Our temple can be beautiful. Our temple can be beautified by the fruits of the Holy Spirit. Going Galatians chapter 5 again, verse 16 to 18. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Yes, when we become a child of God, when the Holy Spirit comes into us, that is when the evil spirit will attack us. The evil spirit, Satan, is attacking Jesus, but because he cannot reach Jesus anymore, he tries to get Jesus through us. In verse 24 and 26, and they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. Here we find that as Christians, the ones that have the Holy Spirit in us have a responsibility in following the teachings of Scripture. The Holy Spirit is not in us to make our life miserable, but he is our companion, our friend. This same Spirit walks with us and wants to guide us through each day of our lives. In John 16, verse 13 and 14, howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. This is the Spirit that will comfort us in our times of trials and tribulations. This is the Spirit that helps us to fight the spiritual battle against Satan. And we have to remember that Satan is the second most powerful spirit, and we out of ourselves cannot defeat him. But with that Holy Spirit in us, we can defeat him. We have an example from Jesus when he had been fasting 40 days and 40 nights. And Satan thought he was his opportunity to get Jesus. Jesus would be hungry to start off with. He hadn't eaten for 40 days and 40 nights. He offered him bread. And Jesus did not accept that invitation from Satan, and there was two others. And finally, Jesus told Satan, get thee hence. And Satan had no choice but to leave. That same spirit that Jesus used to tell Satan to get thee hence is where? Is in each and every one of us, believers. And when Jesus shows us how to use that spirit, we just need to follow those instructions. Thus, this is the spirit that will also lift us up when we have fallen to sin and have wandered off the narrow path. This is the Spirit that will once again restore the joy of our salvation. And this is the Spirit that will lead us through ups and downs of life, the good times, the not so good times. The Spirit will keep us connected to our Lord Jesus Christ. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30. It says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Thus we know that the Spirit will always be there for us. And when our time of departure has come, the same Spirit will carry us through that door from this life into eternal life. And when we consider all the benefits that we have with this Holy Spirit, we should be ever so thankful to the Lord that he has sent us this Comforter. Even though we cannot do anything to make our salvation more complete, yet we can show our appreciation what God has done for us by walking in obedience. And may this Holy Spirit that is in each one of us do this for us. Yes, it is a powerful force that God has given us. This force will lead and guide us not only in this life here, but will lead us to that eternal life in heaven. Amen. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the comfort of the Holy Spirit be with us all. Amen. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us unite for closing prayer. Heavenly Father, we first of all thank you for the plan of salvation. We thank you for your Son Jesus, whom you sent down to earth to die on the cross for our sins, who not only died but also arose on the third day as an example to us that we all shall arise from the grave someday. We thank you for taking Jesus back to heaven to go and prepare a place for us, as you have promised in your holy word. We also thank you for the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, that you sent us, who not only comforts us, but also guides us in our everyday lives and leads us to that heavenly home. And Lord, we just want to once again thank you for being in our midst in the Holy Spirit. We pray all of this in Jesus' name, amen. We always have an opportunity to pray, not only here, but also at home. We can call upon the Lord in the morning and evening, and whoever is able, let us once again kneel in prayer and thank Jesus that he has sent this Comforter. May the Lord hear our prayers and be merciful unto us.
Let's take the blue hymnal and turn to number 203, Burdens Are Lifted at Calvary. 203. Cast your care on Jesus today.
died at Calvary. Jesus is very near. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Calvary, Calvary. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Jesus is very near. Troubled soul, the Savior can see every heartache and tear. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Jesus is very near. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Calvary, Calvary. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Jesus is very near.
How near is Jesus? He is within us, and within all of us believers. I want to thank you for coming this morning and partaking in our church service in prayer and song. The Lord will truly bless you for that. Let us unite for the benediction. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. And may you go in the peace of the Lord.